Welcome to The Positivity Effect, where paying it forward and doing something positive in someone's life can provide them with the confidence and motivation to do the same for someone else. Like a stone dropped into a lake, let's create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world. And it begins with your host, Dr. Thomas Retscher.
Hey, what's up? Dr. Tom here, and you're listening to The Positivity Effect, episode number 32. Happy Monday. If you're on Twitter, I would love to connect with you guys. My Twitter handle is Tom Retscher. And I'd also love to connect on Snapchat. Just search out T Retscher and you'll be able to find me. All right, guys, today I have on Jenny Ritchie, the author of Keeping It Together When Life Throws You Curves. She's married to a former professional baseball player, Wally Ritchie, and it was just a pleasure to have her come on and share her story and hear about some of the curves of life that have been thrown her way. She's a super positive person, and I really think you'll walk away from this conversation feeling uplifted. You can find her at jennyritchie.com. And now let's jump right into our chat.
Hey, Jenny, how's it going? Welcome to the Positivity Effect.
It's going great. Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Tom. I love your show, and I'm so honored to be on it.
Oh, thank you so much. That means a lot. And I'm honored to have you on because you have an incredible story. And, you know, when someone would see your story from a snapshot, they're not going to hear the whole story. There's so much to all the little intricacies, you know, and we're going to just start right at the point. You know, you said you got married at 18, and right from that point, it was like this whirlwind of events from, you know, the point of that you get married and you got married to a professional baseball player. And like I said, when somebody hears that story, you hear the snapshot, and you said, you know, you could think of it. There's so many ways that you could see that story. So I'd love for you to start at that point, you know, right when you got married and how you started to travel around and what was that like for you when you started to travel?
Well, it was amazing, Tom. It was just amazing. I talk about it in my books just right off the bat. I wrote a book recently. It's called Keeping It Together When Life Throws You Curves. And it's every chapter is a story from our baseball life, begins with a story in chronological order. So chapter one, getting married at 18 and then leaving for spring training in February, about 3 months later, everything has to happen in the off season, you know?
Wow.
You need to have your kids in the off season, get married in the off season, all of those things. So we
and,
had
and like as a young bride, like what is that like when you have to make that shift so quickly?
Right. Well, I didn't know how to cook anything. That was the biggest problem. So we headed to spring training and we got there, and this was quite a while ago. It was 1989. And we're in Florida, and we were able to find a little place to live, and we didn't have a cell phone or anything, so we had to go across the street to the 7-Eleven to call our family back in California. And a couple of times I was thinking, what did I do? You know, what have I gotten myself into? But it was a great experience because just learning how, you know, it was my husband and I, his name is Wally, and it was kind of Wally and I, you know, together and against the world. I don't know if you'd say that, but just, you know, learning how to support him and also how to not have a pity party and, you know, kind of find myself in the whole process of, you know, how do I do this? How do I be a wife? How do we travel? The first 5 years we were married, we moved 15 times.
Wow.
Right. So, you know, get to a new place, set up utilities, set up this, set up that. In my book, I talk about the scenario. I don't know how many of your listeners know that much about baseball, minor league, major league, that kind of thing. We, when my husband had been in the major leagues before we got married, and at the end of the 88 season, he got sent down back to AAA. So we started our married life in AAA, which is the highest level of the minor leagues, and went to Scranton, Pennsylvania. And so you never know if you're going to get called up. Like somebody gets hurt, you get a shot, you know, at the major leagues, but you could be there one day, get sent back down. It's a very unstable life.
It's almost like the military. Like they never know when they're going,
right,
to get shipped out. Yeah.
You never know. And so their third year we were, so third year of marriage, third year in the minor leagues, and two of the players on the Phillies on the major league roster got hurt in a car accident. And so they decided to carry 11 pitchers on the West Coast trip. And sure enough, Wally got the call. And we called our families ecstatic, and it was my first trip to the major leagues. And of course, he'd been there before, so it was his second trip. But the part I write about in the book is we never knew if we'd be there another week, another 2 weeks. So, you know, we just set a little goal. If we're still here after the next road trip, we'll go get our stuff from Scranton. If we're still here after the next road trip, we'll get a phone. If we're still, you know, so it was just a life of uncertainty, a life of moving around, kind of being at the whim of the team, and but still so many great things part of the life as well.
And you know, Jenny, when someone like sees somebody doing something great, you know, and in their own mind, they're thinking things very negatively. So, and then they project on somebody that's doing something great their own insecurities. You know, they're struggling with something, or they, you know, they never made the jump in their own life to follow their dreams or their goals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and for you, thinking of the story of you and Wally, and just this, you know, almost movie-like story of just in baseball and traveling around, and you know, someone with a very negative attitude could I'm sure easily just come up to you and say, oh, you know, it must be nice, you know, having that kind of life. And
yeah,
that person doesn't understand also the struggles that, you know, are that, you know, really you were put through as mm-hmm. well. You know, there's the goods and then the bad too. Just thinking, like, what was the kind of things that, what was the emotional and physical pressure that was on you on a daily basis, just for, and like you said, thinking of that uncertainty of traveling yeah. around and the uncertainty of where he may have to end up next, and just, you know, the constant moving, you know, that nomad kind of lifestyle.
Right. Yeah, you're right. You know, people look at that, you have armchair pitchers all over the place, you know.
Yeah.
Wally comes in and he was a relief pitcher. So you come in with bases loaded, you know, two outs, and you give up a home run, you know, and next paper, you're reading about the newspaper the next day, the news, you know, we learn not to watch the news or read the newspapers. You know, there's a lot of pressure because you look at these guys and they're making a lot of money, and you say, well, he should be doing this, you know, but there is a backside to it. There's a lot of physical pressure. There's a lot of, you know, the emotions, there's a lot of pressure, you know, put on these guys to perform. And as wives, it was just, you know, interesting. I write about in some of the book, you know, just learning how to be someone who's more in the spotlight, and how to, I guess, not portray that negative that, you know, you're feeling kind of behind the scenes. But definitely with the moving around, it's a tough life. You know, you've seen baseball movies and things, and some of those are accurate with the toll it takes on your family. And it's not a very family oriented sport. You
yeah,
know, it's just not.
And even thinking just yourself as, you know, as a wife, and that support that you have in the family, you know, it's, you're the person that is also, like, you know, for each other, when a couple, you know, the couple supports each other, and,
yeah.
you know, and then he's support, you know, we spoke before we got on the call how, you know, you're a math teacher, and he supports you through all of your, you know, your teaching endeavors, and all of the ups and the downs and the difficulties you have when you come home from a rough day, and the, you know, the kids really got to you, or you were struggling with something, or, you know, you were trying to help a child and you weren't able to get through to them. And, you know, he has to be there for those stories. And then for you, you know, he's in the limelight, and he's in a very high pressure position, and you have to be there for him as well through that. And I think people don't realize that too. Like, when you see someone like a professional athlete, we don't think about what happens when they're off the camera, you know, they're mm-hmm. behind, they're back home with their family, and they have to also,
yeah.
you know, you're there supporting, and that's, you know, that support is so important. It's so powerful.
Yeah, that has been the key to us. I mean, we definitely have, you know, our commitment to each other that has really helped us through. I mean, you know, when he had a bad, you know, back in the day when he had a bad game, or, you know, I had to be there, and I had to learn how to be there because I am normally a very positive person. And I always wanted just to, if he had a rough day, a rough game, I wasn't in the mode of, I'll let you handle it, I'm here if you need me. I'm going to help you forget about this by talking about something you don't care about, you know,
right, right.
And keep, you know, just talk and talk and talk and try to be peppy, you know, and that was not what he needed. So I had to learn what he needed, and I had to learn to be what, you know, to help him be what I needed. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people out there, and some are in great relationships, and some people are struggling in their relationships, and some people aren't in a relationship. But knowing what you need and being willing to find out what they need, and the communication is just so key. And that's really, I mean, we've had our struggles. We, you know, had some good therapists. And especially when he left baseball, that was... it was a really challenging time. And in fact, he's starting a business now, or launching a website the next couple of weeks, to help athletes transition successfully to their post sports life, because it's a very big deal. I tell people it's like cutting off his left arm, you know, to do something you love forever. And then he ended up going back to school and got real jobs, you know, but still, imagine if your listeners can imagine doing something you love so much right away, you know, like, let's see, you know, you're a professional baseball player, and then you get to go be a, an accountant, you know, or, you know, something. And it's just never the same. And if you're not careful, you can get into a bitter situation, you know, where you're thinking woulda, coulda, shoulda, and, you know, this isn't the life I want, and why didn't I, you know? So it's really about knowing yourself, and, you know, so I'm hopeful that this, you know, that we can help some athletes transition easier than he did. So there's just, you know, it's, you've got your career issues, but then also your relationships. You know, we don't spend a lot of time together, didn't spend a lot of time together when we were playing, and all of a sudden he was home. Right, and it's kind of like a fly in the ointment, you know? And so we definitely had to make some changes and learn how to spend time together and all of that. So there's definitely challenges, and, you know, I'm thankful that we have been there to support each other through it. And, you know, here we are.
And, you know, I talk about this a lot on the show, is the power of relationships and how everything really stems from that. We can think about our life in terms of what we contribute and our success and, you know, our purpose. Exactly. You know, that word purpose, like you said, for your husband, that, you know, he hit that on the nail on the head very early in life and found his purpose. And like you said, it could be very difficult when you have your purpose in life to transition out of that. And that's like, we're not sitting here, we're not poo-pooing other fields. We're not saying accounting is bad or getting into IT or being a teacher or being like an audiologist, a doctor like myself. It's just, for him, his purpose was baseball. And that transition, right, people don't realize, can be very, very, very difficult.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just thinking of relationships, I think of myself. Anything I do, like my success, it comes back to the relationship. And if I'm not communicating well with my fiance, everything else is affected by that, because everything stems
so
back from that relationship. Yeah. When you have that, those struggles of you know, of communication, when you leave the house and you go out about your day and you're trying to affect other people now, that's in your head, you know, that's, it's stuck in your mind. You know, maybe you had a rough conversation or you just feel a little distant, and that really affects each other. And I'm sure for you that juggling balancing act that you had to do when he was, still playing was very difficult, you know, because there was like you said, it's a very high pressure position that he was in.
Yeah, it was. And it's the juggling act all the time. I have to, even today, just have to keep remembering me. The two things that help me are just gratitude, you know, just focusing on gratitude. A lot of times, especially as a woman, and I know some of your listeners will relate to this, is we're all about our to-dos. We have the to-do list running in our head all the time. And sometimes if he is not doing something like I would, or he's in the middle of my to-dos, you know, I have a little bit of a trouble just putting those to the side and just spending some quality time and communicating and building that relationship. So it's a daily effort to keep, you know, that purpose, keep focused on our relationship, you know, and keep that moving forward together.
And, you know, I really was interested just, you know, in your bio about how, you know, overcoming all these challenges was thinking about challenges of life through faith. And what does that look for you, like, look like for you, that word faith?
I definitely think faith is holding on to something. It's holding on to something. You know, we're not just like a lost piece of paper in the wind. Mm. You know, whatever people have faith in, where it's faith in a God, faith in the universe, faith in yourself, you know, whatever it is for each of us, it's having something to hold on to. It's having a source of strength to help us get through the challenges that we have. And in the book, I not only talk about some of the challenges that we went through in our baseball life, but other people that have gone through challenges, you know, losing children, losing a spouse, health challenges, money challenges, relationship challenges, you know, things that we all go through, and having something to hold on to through that time is absolutely critical.
And yeah, we can always think about, like you said, the word gratitude. We can always think about how grateful we are for the things that we do have. You know, when we're going through those moments when we're so upset about the things that we don't have. You know, I just think about even recently myself, I'm trying to eat more healthy. And for me, it was always just like, it was a rush around. And I knew, you know, I always had access to all so many great, you know, we have so much access to food, you know, in today's, and especially in America. And for me, it was just like getting back to the basics and sitting down and recognizing I can, you know, I'm sitting down with this nice fresh plate of vegetables and somewhere else in the world, someone's like, I wish I had a plate of vegetables, you know, to satisfy and fulfill my body. And it's like when we always are focusing on the things that we don't have, you know, it kind of clouds your vision to the things that you do have. If you're not thinking about, you know, the things that you'd have.
Right. I find that a lot in my students. So I teach seventh graders right now, and a lot of their generation it's all focused on what we don't have.
Right.
You know, I don't have enough of this, or I don't have that, or my friend has this, and I think it does come from those of us that are parents. I think it's something that it doesn't come from a bad place, I think, because we always want to strive to be, you know, achieving more, and we have goals that we want to achieve and things like that. But you're right. We have to keep in mind what we have, what we're grateful for, look at the positive. And, you know, I'm reading a book called The Power by Rhonda Byrne. She's did The Secret, The Law of Attraction.
Yes. Yes.
A book and movie. And so she has, I don't know if you've read this book, The Power, but it's all about love and sending out love. And it has just really in the last little bit really affected me as I come to work, as I view my family, you know, when those things start to come into my mind and things like, oh, I don't have this, I don't have that, or it's a shift, she explains, to look at what we do have, to love the situation, find something to love about it. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you're thinking there's nothing to love about this right now. There's nothing to love about my job. There's nothing to love about this situation. But by feeling love, those emotions have such an effect on us. You know, we know emotions have an effect on us. Our negative emotions, our positive emotions have such an effect on us physically, physiologically. And if we remember that gratitude, view our world from a place of love, it shifts those thoughts from poor me, what I don't have, to, you know, I love this or I love that. So that's been something that's really been helping me.
That's so true. And yesterday I had on a gentleman, his name's Eric Kruger, and he's a self-development coach for men. He lives in South Africa, and he told this story about the two wolves. And I never had heard the story. It's very interesting. And it's a way to think about things in your mind of there's like the bad wolf and the good wolf. And like, you know, they're always going to be there. It's the one that, which wolf are you feeding? And If you, and it sounds like, you know, when you think of the word love, that's, you know, the good wolf. If you're feeding the other one, the other wolf will be starved out. And that's, you know, it's a kind of powerful analogy. And that's what we're, sounds like you're doing. The more love and, you know, the good feelings, good vibes, you're feeding your mind. And it's like when these other thoughts come up, you're able to kind of step back out of your mind with clarity and analyze them for what they are, that they are just thoughts. They're not who you are.
Yes.
And you're able to really to reassess the situation and be more proactive in your communication with other people, instead of how when we have these bad thoughts, it's so easy to be reactive. You know, when someone says something bad about us, or we're stressed, or we didn't have a good night's sleep, it's so easy to be reactive.
Yeah, that's one of the challenges that I have at work every day is not just letting that roll off my back and think, you know, just keep going forward. That brings two things to mind. One, I saw a little meditation video, and it's, you're just sitting there and there's all these cars going by. And the point of it was to be more of an observer rather than get into one of the cars and start driving down the road with that emotion.
Yes. Yes.
Just to watch it. Like something's coming in and you're processing it. You're thinking, oh, okay, that's okay. And emotions are supposed to move through us. Right, they're supposed to move through us. And when we hold on to it, it, you know, like we all have, I know I do hold some stress sometimes in my body and it gives me physical pain and things. And it's just because I'm holding on to that emotion and not letting it go through me. But the other thought, I really appreciated, someone shared this at a conference I was at, and it's kind of a cycle. We have a thought, and then oftentimes we attach a story to it, and then that story evokes an emotion.
Yes.
So, Tom, let's say you we're supposed to go to lunch tomorrow, and you don't show up. And I'm sitting there, I'm waiting for you, and you don't show up. And so there's a situation. So then it goes to the story, and I can either attach a story, you know, Tom, he has just been detached lately. He's just being rude. He's not being thought, you know, and then that brings an emotion.
Mm, yep.
Or I can choose to put a different story to it and say, you know what, he probably just forgot, something happened. And we choose the story. And even if it gets to the emotion part, we can always back it up, unpack the story and say, wait a minute, like you said, look at it logically, think kind of from the outside in and think, you know, this isn't the emotion I want to have. You know, let me back up, let me unpack this and see it for what it was, which was just a situation, a thought, something happened, you know, and I'm going to choose to feel the emotion that I want to feel.
Right.
So that was great
powerful
advice.
Yeah, that's so true. Like even, you know, if we have something as you know, when like a loved one passes away, it's all how we view it. You know, it's going to be very difficult when something like that happens, but we can also see it as a time that, you know, we can see that they lived a good life, and we can see that it kind of brings the family together. You know, it's a very sad time, but you can sit and you can let your mind run amok with the actual situation, and then you build that story, and then the story just keeps perpetuating those negative feelings. Or same thing, you know, about flipping it on the positive. And that's, you know, what we're trying to do with this show is just, it's not always about, you know, the positivity effect isn't about just smiling and you know, being happy all the time, even when things are tough, but it's just about always seeing that you can put change in the world, and you can be a positive message, even if you're struggling with something. And, you know, it's so interesting hearing your story. You know, there was so much, you know, when you were traveling around, that was a lot of stress to put on one, you know, to put on yourself. It's not easy to always be constantly moving your home. And that's what, you know, we're actually coming to the end of today's episode. And that's what I want to jump into tomorrow is, we'll jump right into it. I want to talk a little bit about, just, you know, your experience as a you know, you've been a teacher for a while now, and that's, you've been a teacher also through those moves. And that's a big transition too, is kind of uprooting your work. So, definitely want to talk about that. Jenny, this has been great. I just want to thank you so much for coming on today.
You're welcome, Dr. Tom. It's been great.
Awesome. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care.
Okay. Thank you. You too.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Positivity Effect. I promise to keep sharing inspiring stories with the guests every single day. I hope you feel inspired, and I hope that we stirred some self-reflection in you on topics like transparency, compassion, and empathy. Please check out the website at positivityeffect.com. Sign up for the newsletter, and I'll send you some tips to get you thinking more positively. If you're really enjoying The Positivity Effect, please tell someone about the show. Together, we can create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world, something that we need so desperately today. So thanks again so much for listening. See you tomorrow for another episode of The Positivity Effect.